Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and a very happy Valentine's Day, or a belated happy Valentine's Day, depending on when you're listening to this broadcast. We got lots to talk about today. 888-302-3684 is our number. We invite you to call. And a cold wave has descended upon the east where I'm broadcast. Good. Doesn't matter to you on the West Coast, because I hear temperatures in California are in the 80s. Lucky you. But unprecedented cold hitting the Northeast, and a big snowstorm on its way. And I hope you're tucked in and comfy, cozy as you listen to this broadcast. Hopefully we're going to do some things to build up your resistance to the inclement weather. 888-302-3684. And we'll start out with this little Valentine's Day present to you. By the way, part two of our broadcast, in our second hour, we're going to talk about specific ways in which your diet can augment or hinder your sex life. That's our featured article in our newsletter this week. You can find it at drhoffman.com. But good news, in this month's edition of the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition for chocolate lovers. Yeah, I'm a chocolate lover. I eat a lot of dark chocolate. As much as I can, I try to avoid chocolate that is too rich in sugar. The high-test chocolate, 70 or 85% cocoa, delivers a lot of health benefits. And, you know, seriously, I mean, you may think, well, that's a joke, because chocolate, we know, is an indulgence. It's highly caloric, and in no way, no how could it be beneficial for your health. Well, think again. According to a new study that is in the authoritative American Journal of Clinical Nutrition this month, headline, Chocolate Consumption and Risk of Diabetes Mellitus in the Physician's Health Study. That's a big study. It looks at over 50,000 physicians over decades. What they found, quite interestingly, was that chocolate consumption could help to protect against diabetes. Chocolate contains caffeine, but also beneficial polyphenols, flavonoids, proanthocyanidins, and minerals such as especially magnesium. And these could have an impact on the risk of diabetes. So what they did is they followed these predominantly male physicians over a long period of time. And what they found is there was actually a significant reduction in the risk of type 2 diabetes in those physicians who consumed chocolate versus those who did not. However, here's the caveat. First of all, this phenomenon was restricted to males. They did not see the protective effect in females. Not that they tested a lot of women, because this group predominantly male physicians. In addition, and here's the important caveat, you had to be of normal weight to benefit from chocolate. So if you're overweight and you're eating chocolate, maybe that's not going to have a protective effect. But if you're normal weight and you're eating chocolate versus your normal weight and you're not eating chocolate, well, you're going to get a protective effect against diabetes. So I feel kind of exonerated by this study, because I'm of normal weight. I eat a lot of chocolate, and it's working for me. 888-302-3684. Let's take a call now from Rich, who's calling us from Baldwin, New York. How you doing?
How are you, doctor? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay. Well, I'm age 70, and in August I was diagnosed with a hydrocele.
Mm-hmm. For our listening audience, that is like a water on the testicle. It's like a fluid buildup on the testicle. Is it painful? Does it hurt? Does it bother you?
It's not actually on his testicle. It's right by the pubic hair, right in the inguinal canal.
Oh, okay.
And it was it was confirmed with a CAT scan and a sonogram. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the first urologist wanted to take it out with an operation. The second was not pushing me for an operation.
I like the second guy.
Yeah, me too. And he said
he's the tell me it ain't so doc. So that's the one you want to go to.
Yeah, thank you. And he said that it's not life-threatening. And,
exactly.
He could also, you know, take it out. It's up to me. And I waited 3 months, and it went away for about 2-3 months. Mm-hmm. And it came back in December. It's about half the size of
a ping pong ball. So you want to know if you should take it out or should not take it out?
Or is it possible to have it drained? None of them suggested that.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work because some of these things, you can drain them, and then they have a tendency to reaccumulate. It's a little bit like sometimes other fluid buildups in different parts of the body. You can pull out the fluid, and that may be important for diagnostic purposes to make sure that it's not an infection or something dangerous. You know, certainly you can judge by the appearance of these kinds of things whether they're cancerous or not, and there's no question in that location that that is not cancerous. So, you know, these kinds of things were, you know, unless it's, you know, unless you're a movie star doing nude scenes in 50 Shades of Grey, you know, in those close-up scenes, they might say, oh, gee, that looks a little weird. You know, it's going to ruin your movie career. I don't think that applies to you. I think that you could just kind of do watchful waiting on that situation. And if it gets big, bothersome, intrusive, painful, then you can have it surgically removed. But, I agree with the spirit of the second physician, and you know that's a correct way to manage these kinds of problems. Even though urologists are surgeons, is the mark of a good surgeon is to know when not to operate. And in this case, you know, just because something's there doesn't mean you have to take it out. So that would be my suggestion. And you know, and of course, I know of no natural thing that's going to have an impact on such a thing. This is more of a hydraulic problem. It's not going to respond to vitamins, minerals, supplements, exercise, acupuncture, meditation, any of those types of things.
90% of the time, it doesn't bother me.
Okay, so you're fine. That's the answer. Just leave it alone. Okay? 888-302-3684. Let's take a look at this news story. This is interesting because Johnson & Johnson, big drug company. You know, part of the problem with the drug companies is they cannot make big blockbuster drugs anymore because the cost of development is so high. And actually, some people have said that the era of the blockbuster drug is over. And that may not be entirely the case. There may be a few new blockbuster drugs on the horizon, but the drug pipeline is definitely drying up. So there's a strategy shift among the big pharma enterprises. And it has to do with preventive medicine. Now, unfortunately, their view of preventive medicine may be to find more tests to discover that you have more problems that they can treat with more expensive drugs. But take a look at what they're doing. It's kind of interesting. The head of research at Janssen R&D, apparently Johnson & Johnson, it's kind of confusing, has merged with Janssen Pharmaceuticals. So it's Johnson & Johnson and Janssen. This guy is named Dr. William Haight, and he says, 100 years from now, somebody's going to look back on us and say, can you believe they waited until you got a disease and then did something? He said this in an exclusive interview with the Associated Press. So what they're going to try and do is they're going to try and discover early whether you're prone to one or another disease. But check out what they're doing. They're big into investing in genetic testing. Genetic testing will be the wave of the future. And actually, there's a government enterprise that was proposed by President Obama that's going to create a huge genetic database that's going to help researchers to find out the genetic basis of disease. Some people are concerned about that because they say, great, you know, now you're going to have your genes in some database that's insecure, and the government's going to have access to it, and who knows who's going to hack into it. But that's another story. They are also into studying the microbiome. That's what's in your poop, the bacteria that constitute the population within your intestines. The Janssen Human Microbiome Institute, big bucks in this, will study the microbiome, bacteria living in and on the body. that have recently been found to have a key role in our health. How about that? Learning more about that could help in creating treatments for autoimmune disorders such as rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, and inflammatory bowel disorders, many of which lack good treatments. That's pretty amazing. Big drug companies investing in microbiome research. Also, something called the Disease Interception Accelerator, just beginning in Raritan, New Jersey, will explore genetic defects and other causes of diseases. Their first target, diabetes. They want to get in early, identify which kids might be prone to diabetes, and then do interventions which prevent them from becoming dependent on insulin for life. Very interesting. So that's the direction of pharmaceutical research. We'd like them to pursue more natural therapies, but hey, they're looking at the causes of diseases, and that's a good thing. 888-302-3684. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and you're listening to Intelligent Medicine.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
A regular dose of intelligent medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, 888-302-3684. Fish intake and the risk of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, that's COPD, otherwise known as emphysema. And in a new study, it showed that a dietary pattern that included fish was inversely associated with a risk of COPD. That's pretty good. So more fish you eat, the less likely you are to develop lung disease. Of course, you know, it's not an antidote to smoking. You can't, like, smoke a pack of Marlboros daily and, you know, have some salmon and hope for the best. But there's plenty of people who don't even smoke. They just breathe bad city air, they have bad lungs, and they develop chronic lung disease. Fish can be a preventive, and I imagine also it would turn out that fish oil capsules would have an anti-inflammatory effect in the lungs. All right, this one, this headline puzzled me at first. Over-the-counter drug may work well for arthritis. So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, you know, what are they talking about here? Are they talking about Advil, Motrin, Aleve, aspirin? An over-the-counter drug may work well for arthritis. Okay, this article, according to Reuters Health, three daily doses of glucosamine and chondroitin may provide the same relief as a smaller dose of prescription Celebrex, a powerful anti-arthritis drug, for people with severe pain from osteoarthritis. According to a randomized trial performed in four European countries. Okay, I'm confused. Is this the same supplement that was proclaimed worthless just a few months ago? Because they were saying, don't bother with glucosamine chondroitin because it doesn't work, according to that study. Now, another study vindicates glucosamine and chondroitin. According to the research, they actually say that there may be a reason for this. The Europeans have an advantage on us because glucosamine, chondroitin, and the combination are all available as medications. Thus, the quality may be superior to the quality of the glucosamine, chondroitin available in the United States. I personally use a supplement, and I recommend it to my patients, called Abasoy Complete, which is an exact duplicate of European formulas. Here's what they took. A daily combination of 400 milligrams chondroitin and 500 milligrams of glucosamine hydrochloride three times daily. That's pretty standard. Glucosamine 500, chondroitin 400 three times daily. After 6 months, both groups had knee pain about half as severe as when they started. Okay, well, one was taking a powerful anti-inflammatory drug. They both had similar reductions in joint swelling and stiffness and increased function. But the good news is that glucosamine chondroitin, A, it's cheaper, and B, is not going to put holes in your stomach or cause you to have leaky gut syndrome in your intestinal tract, which is, even if you don't get bleeding ulcers, you can get changes in intestinal permeability. If you take the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, that can lead to other problems, autoimmune disease, and the like. So, and in addition, Celebrex can cause serious side effects. Ulcers, bleeding. It can increase the risk of stroke and heart attack and kidney disease, renal failure if you are susceptible to that. So, good news on the glucosamine chondroitin front. Once again, these great daily supplements of glucosamine chondroitin have been shown to be effective against arthritis. This item is sort of near and dear to me because this is a program that I've just begun. Kettlebells. Kettlebells are like dumbbells, but they got a handle, and they can be used to help train multiple parts of the body. And you swing them. You lean down, you swing them between your legs, you swing them over your head. And it's a very, very intense workout. Headline, kettlebells may improve aerobic fitness. Researchers showed that they compared two groups of folks working out conventionally with aerobic exercise, working out with kettlebells. The group using kettlebells, their fitness rose by 6% over the other group not using kettlebells. So kettlebells, I highly recommend as part of your workout program. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684 for Intelligent Medicine. Heart disease is the number one killer in America, but you don't need to become a statistic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'd like to share with you that one of the best ways that I found to support heart health is by taking Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Backed by more than 700 peer-reviewed studies, Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has also been shown to support healthy cholesterol levels and proper circulation. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is completely odorless and won't upset your stomach. Made from 100% organically grown garlic, I recommend taking Kyolic daily as part of a heart-healthy lifestyle. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores nationwide.
We know probiotics are good for digestive health, but what about your skin? I'm Kat James, author of The Truth About Beauty. Common skincare products can disrupt the balance of the friendly bacteria on your skin. That's why Dr. O'Hara's probiotics merge ancient Japanese fermentation skills with probiotic and prebiotic nutrients into a revolutionary 100% natural skincare line to help revive and support balanced microecology for healthy skin. Their Kampuku Beauty Bar, honored with the Best of Beauty Award by Better Nutrition, promotes optimal skin ecology while clarifying and rebalancing even sensitive skin without drying. Their Magaroku lotion combines Dr. O'Hara's award-winning pre- and probiotic isolate with 14 oxygenating plant extracts plus one of the most skin-compatible emollients known to restore your glow. Research confirms it inhibits growth of harmful bacteria that can cause skin disorders. Use it alone or with your favorite serums. Dr. O'Hara's probiotic skincare is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine stores.
drhoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, 888-302-3684. We got a call from Jack, who's in Brookings, Oregon.
Hello.
How you doing, Jack?
Hello. Fine, Doc. I was listening earlier. I may have not caught all of your diatribe on chocolate, but I noticed you were using chocolate as a general term, and to a lot of people, that means the sugar-laden milk chocolate, which I know is not good for you. It's the darker chocolate. So, you know, your general use of chocolate to a lot of people just means the wrong thing, and I think a lot of people are taking it wrong also.
Well, you know, absolutely, and I agree with you. So let me take this opportunity to double down on reiterating that it's not milk chocolate. The vast majority of chocolate, you know, like Fanny Farmer chocolate, you know, and commercial chocolate that's milk chocolate, even when you add milk to cocoa, you actually attenuate the benefits of the cocoa polyphenols. Milk interferes with that. So number one, milk chocolate, you interfere with the cocoa polyphenols, the benefit, the heart benefits, the vascular benefits, the anti-diabetes benefits. But in addition, you know, you water down the cocoa and you put in a lot of sugar and you put in a lot of various types of fats, and you get a high calorie bomb that's really delicious. And then you put on the pounds, and of course that can't be good for diabetes, can it? You know, and that's one of the reasons why in this particular study they found that if you're overweight to begin with, don't even go there with the chocolate. All right. In the study, by the way, they didn't qualify whether, you know, this is a big survey, a population survey. So they didn't go, you know, down the line with these people and say, do you eat 85 proof Lindt chocolate? They just said, do you eat chocolate? And so in general, in a person who's with normal weight, it seems to be somewhat protective against diabetes. But I agree with you. You know, you got to be careful with your chocolate intake. And the vast majority of people consume poor quality, you know, like a Snickers bar or something like that. It's not going to deliver. But I'll tell you, some of these major companies like Nestle's, they're investing a lot of money in research on chocolate so that they can make chocolate not just a delicious, scrumptious treat, but a functional food. They can actually offer it, make health claims that ultimately could be approved by the FDA. It's heart healthy, anti-diabetic, good for your circulation. But that chocolate is probably, they're going to make it as tasty and palatable as possible. But frankly, you got to be a little hardcore to eat 85 proof chocolate. It doesn't taste as scrumptious and delicious as chocolate that's got maybe, you know, 20 or 30% cocoa that's laden with all kinds of sweeteners. That really, that's what perks up the taste buds in a lot of people, not so much the cocoa flavor. But I thank you for helping me make that clarification, because I don't want to set off an unhealthy epidemic of people feeling like, hey, you know, chocolate. Hey, Dr. Hoffman said eat as much chocolate as you want. That's not where I'm going. All right, 888-302-3684. By the way, this I think is an important story in the context of this program, because we try to offer you the truth that is not embellished, adulterated, exaggerated, or dumbed down. And here's a study about healthcare health reporting. Researchers looked at 462 press releases issued in 2011 and the associated news articles that were based on the press releases. Now, I got to tell you, I read, you know, probably dozens and dozens and dozens of press releases. And you got to be careful when you look at a press release, because a press release may exaggerate the importance of a finding. A case in point might be chocolate is good for you. Okay? That press release, chocolate is good to eat as much chocolate. Well, hey, you know, scroll down and you might see that there's that study was sponsored by a major chocolate manufacturer, you know, Hershey's, for example. So they got a little skin in the game of making people feel that they can eat as much chocolate as they want. That's an example of how bias might creep into these reports. Well, anyway, these researchers found that some press releases exaggerate findings and lack appropriate caveats. Caveats like, hey, we did this study in mice, and this is this incredible breakthrough that promises to cure Alzheimer's disease, but it was done in a mouse model, which doesn't necessarily mean that we were on the cusp of a revolution in our treatment of Alzheimer's disease. And that's the way a lot of press reports are, and I have to drill down and look at them and analyze them skeptically, pass along to you what appears to me to be the truth. But a lot of news agencies, a lot of even major news organizations, CBS, NBC, ABC, The Times, The Wall Street Journal. Unfortunately, I think they really lack people with enough background in the field of medicine, and in particular in the field of natural medicine, to critically evaluate claims. So they take stories hook, line, and sinker and pass them along to the general public. A case in point this week, big story, the Attorney General of the state of New York did a sting operation on four major retailers, tested their products, and found there was virtually no active ingredient in any of the products. The products included ginseng, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and the headlines that were generated uncritically accepted the conclusions of the press release. The press release said these supplements are bogus. The newspapers, TV stations, magazines, in a rush to get this into print and to generate big headlines, didn't do their due diligence to critically evaluate the Attorney General's claims. And what you got was a flurry of headlines saying that supplement users are a bunch of ninnies. They're using supplements, spending big bucks, billions of dollars every year on supplements that are well-nigh worthless, which is hardly a conclusion that you can draw from this limited so-called study of supplements in the state of New York. Now, I spent a lot of week on this story doing interviews and damage control on this, because responsible spokespersons from the supplement industry, we talked to Mark Blumenthal last week, we talked to Steve Mister of the Council for Responsible Nutrition, and I talked to many of my industry colleagues, and they say that the Attorney General's report is totally bogus because he used the wrong method to test the potency of supplements. He did something called DNA fingerprinting, which looks for vestiges of DNA from plants to identify whether a supplement is the real deal. And that may work if, say, somebody offers you Chilean sea bass in a restaurant, but it turns out that it's Malaysian catfish. It's a bogus substitution of a cheap product for a valuable one, because DNA is DNA in an intact fish that's sitting on your plate. But in a supplement, some of the best supplements have no vestige of DNA in them because they're highly purified extract. The extracts, the heat, the purification, the distillation takes out the valuable chemicals that are the business end of, say, something like ginkgo biloba, the ginkgolides, which actually work on the brain. But there may be no vestige of the original ginkgo plant left in the supplement. That doesn't mean that it's a bogus supplement. It just means that you use the wrong test to identify whether the supplement is valuable. So press releases and news stories often contain erroneous and exaggerated claims. And that's one of the reasons why you listen to Intelligent Medicine, because we try to break it down for you. We're undertaking a campaign in the state of New York and throughout the country, if you care to join us. It's on Twitter, hashtag release the report, because we're asking the Attorney General of New York, who, by the way, has refused to take calls from responsible representatives of the supplement industry. He's hunkering in the bunker. That's his story, and he's sticking to it. Although I think he's going to find himself in big trouble for jumping the gun on issuing a cease and desist on selling these products, because his methodology is faulty. He has not released the details of the actual report. He's not demonstrated the methodology. So it's kind of like if you were arrested and they didn't tell you the charges, or if they had a star chamber hearing on you, as they do in totalitarian countries, and you ask, well, what's the evidence against me? And they say, well, let's not bother with the evidence. That's irrelevant. You're guilty. We know it. Well, how do we know? Well, trust us. We know you're guilty. That's essentially what they're saying to the supplement companies. So our Twitter campaign, hashtag release the report, directed to Attorney General Schneiderman. He's got a Twitter address, and we want to inundate the Attorney General with tweets from irate New York citizens and people all over the country who demand that he release the report so that we can highlight its inadequacies and vindicate the supplement companies that make the products that he's attacked. 888-302-3684. That's our number for Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, 888-302-3684. And big story out of Oregon State University. Headline, unwanted impact of antibiotics is broader and more complex than previously known. Okay, what they're saying here basically is, you know, look, we know that antibiotics can mess you up. They can give you diarrhea. They can really make you feel crappy because they kill off good bacteria in your intestinal tract. We finally come to recognize that there is a cost to taking antibiotics. And according to the story, scientists now suspect that antibiotic use, and especially overuse, can have unwanted effects not just on your gut, but on everything from the immune system to your glucose metabolism, to food absorption, to obesity, and even can impact your behavior, causing anxiety and depression. That's an amazing finding. We talked about it in newsletter articles earlier this year at drhoffman.com. But check out this statistic. I didn't even realize this. 40% of all adults and 70% of all children take one or more antibiotics every year. That blows my mind because the last time I took an antibiotic, it was back during my hospital training where I caught some kind of horrible skin infection in the hospital and I had to take an antibiotic for a few days and that was it. And in my generation, antibiotics just were starting to be in vogue. They were invented virtually in World War II. So the baby boomer generation started to get antibiotics, but they were not as liberally used when I was a child. Now we got Gen X and Gen Y and millennials getting tons of antibiotics. And not to mention the use of antibiotics in billions of food animals. They're used all the time in animals, so you get antibiotic residues from eating animals who've been treated heavily, or eating eggs. Even dairy products may contain antibiotic residues. So antibiotics everywhere. So what are they saying that antibiotics do? Well, they affect the immune system. They create antibiotic-resistant microbes. We know that. But they also can affect the mitochondria. The mitochondria are the little powerhouses within cells. Now, why would antibiotics, which are directed against bacteria, affect the mitochondria within cells? Well, they have an intriguing theory here. They believe that in evolution, billions of years ago, the first cells that could be characterized as animal cells. What's the difference? Well, plants don't have mitochondria. Animal cells have mitochondria. They believe that a bacteria may have somehow merged with a plant-like one-celled organism, and the bacteria inserted itself into the one-celled organism, and that was a primitive mitochondria. And so the mitochondria, billions of years ago, may have been bacteria, and therefore mitochondria particularly susceptible to the effects of antibiotics. That's fascinating, and that may explain why people get really weird symptoms. They get symptoms that are terrible from Cipro and Levaquin. These are floxins. These are drugs that can cause people to get floxed. There's a whole raft of people out there of long-term side effects from these medications. And it's possible that their mitochondria have been damaged. So what are the alternatives? Well, I did a great interview this week with herbalists Carl and Joan Robinson. And you can listen to it at drhoffman.com. Download the podcast. And there we talk about natural treatments for colds and flus. We already know that the flu vaccine was a bust this year. They told everybody to get the flu vaccine, but then they had to admit, and this is rare, that they actually, you know, shamefacedly are forced to admit the vaccine weren't worth a darn. It was about 14% effective. 14%. That's nothing. You know, it doesn't pay virtually to take the flu vaccine this year. They missed entirely. Now, that doesn't happen every year, but this is a particularly bad year. So what are you going to do? Antibiotics don't do anything against the flu. They are a total waste of time. So what can you do? Well, we talked about the use of natural things like elderberry and Oregon grapefruit, which contains berberine, and lomatium and garlic. And we also discussed the use of echinacea. And Carl and Joan Robinson have a very, very interesting take on echinacea. A lot of people, you know, throughout the cold and flu season, they're taking echinacea every day. They want to prevent a cold. They say that's not such a good idea. Taking echinacea every single day is not the proper way to utilize echinacea. If you get sick, yeah, take echinacea. It will boost your immune system. But long-term use of echinacea, they say, is not the way to go. Moreover, they've confirmed something that's been floating around for a while, which is the possibility that people with autoimmune diseases, where the immune system is overactive, they should not be taking echinacea. So patients who have, say, rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, conditions where the immune system is already overexuberant, they probably should stay away from echinacea because of its immune stimulatory properties. Very interesting interview. You can check it out at drhoffman.com because these folks know herbs like you know whatever, like you follow Kim Kardashian or whatever your realm of knowledge is. 888-302-3684. We will take additional calls. Actually, we got a call from Walter. What we're going to do is we're going to tide Walter over to next hour because we want to give his question its due, and we're a little limited on time. I'll share this with you, which is an important story. You know, these days when it's cold and conditions outside are daunting, one thing you can do is you can take control of things by exercising. I fortunately live right next to a YMCA, so I just have to skedaddle a few feet, literally, from the entrance of my building into the entrance of the YMCA, go inside and exercise, even though the conditions outside are cold and challenging. Headline, lack of exercise may cause twice as many deaths as obesity. Obesity alone, yeah, that's a problem. But researchers at the University of Cambridge in Britain have found that as little as a 20-minute daily walk can help prevent heart attacks. By how much? The researchers found that a 20-minute walk per day can help reduce the risk of a premature death by up to, check it out, 30%. And that's encouraging because a lot of people say, well, you know, Dr. Hoffman's talking about triathlons. He's talking about kettlebells. I can't do that, you know, swimming a mile. No, you don't need to do that to accrue health benefits. In this study, over 334,000 men and women participated. They were followed for 12 years. And what they found was the greatest reduction in risk of an early demise was found in people who were moderately active as compared to those who were not active at all. So even if you can't kick it up to a high level of intense physical activity, that 20-minute walk per day or its equivalent can reduce your risk of a premature death by up to 30%. So just get out there, do it. Cold weather notwithstanding, that'll even increase your exertional challenge. You can do it. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684, and many of you will rejoin us for a second hour of Intelligent Medicine coming up.